Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to go to Ephesians 2 tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll begin there tonight. And I have something, I've preached on this at another church. I think it was last year, maybe. But anyway, I want to talk to you about it tonight. I want to talk about the grace and faith connection and how they're connected. So let's go here to Ephesians chapter 2, because if you don't understand this, then it's going to be hard for you to receive everything the Lord has for you, because this is really important that we understand how this is connected. Thank God for grace, but there's a connection to it. There's a connection of faith. Let's look at this, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, where Paul said, "For by grace you are saved." Now, the word saved, of course, when you look it up, it has a large meaning. Large meaning. What do I mean by that? Well, it covers what we think of as saved a lot of times, our forgiveness of sin, our going to heaven, but it covers all aspects of life. You know, the word means safety, healing, deliverance, preservation, prosperity. All of that is in this word saved. And we are saved by grace. Hallelujah. Yes. Not because we deserved it, but because God's good.
Amen.
Yes. All the time. Amen. So he doesn't have a bad day where he just wakes up and thinks, you know, I think I'm just going to slap somebody around today. How many of y'all, no, never mind. I was going to ask you how many of y'all have days like that where you wake up and think, yeah, I just need to punch somebody today. No, hopefully you don't. But, you know, God doesn't have those days where he wakes up on the wrong side of the throne. For by grace are you saved, notice this, through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So the grace, listen to this, the grace, it's grace, you're saved by grace, but it comes through faith. Now, here's the thing. Grace needs faith. It's a pipeline for grace to flow through. Water comes to your house through a pipeline. And maybe you don't think about it until that pipe breaks, and then you think about it because it flows through a pipeline. Grace flows through the pipeline of faith. And it doesn't do any good to have grace if you don't have a pipeline for it to flow through.
Amen.
You know, we've had a lot of grace teaching over the last several years. Some good, some not so good, not so accurate. And you know, a lot of people want to just say, and some of this, you know, we think just maybe popped up, but this has been teaching that's been going on in the church for years about how, for instance, the teaching that it's all up to God is basically saying it's all grace. But how many know, people don't just get saved because of grace. They get saved by grace through faith. Did you know that God, and I'm sure you do, that God is already paid the price for every lost person on the planet to be saved? The Bible says that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Paul said that he's not imputing their trespasses unto them, the world, but has given to you and I, us believers, the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what does that mean? That means it's our job to go tell them about this grace. It's our job. Y'all hearing me? See, if they don't know it, they can't accept it. They got to know it. First thing they got to do is know it, right? See, you know, there was enmity between God and the human race, but Jesus, praise the Lord, he got rid of that enmity through his grace. And so, but you got to know about it, you know? I mean, it's like if Pastor Jerry and I, you know, I owed Pastor Jerry $100,000, you know, and, you know, he wants it, you know, and I can't pay it. You know, how many know that could cause a strain between our relationship? I'm sure it wouldn't with us. He'd gladly forgive me. He's such a gracious guy. I could,
In time.
He's gracious. He's humble. You know all the good qualities about him. I don't have to tell you. But anyway, let's just say I owe him $100,000, and it's such a riff that I just like, you know, I can't really be around. Yeah, have you ever had that maybe before where you had a riff with somebody and it's like, you know, you just didn't want to really meet one another, you know? And so, you know, so you, there's that enmity there. So it gets so strong that I just leave and, you know, I move to another state, you know? And then Pastor Jerry, being the guy he is, the magnanimous, generous guy he is, he forgives me that debt. But how many know it doesn't do any good unless somebody comes and tells me? Right? So he sends somebody to come and tell me. And they tell me he's forgiven all the debt. You can come back. The enmity's gone. That's what happened at Calvary, is God forgave the entire debt of the whole human race. At one act, at one time, forgave everybody of all their sins. But the problem is you have to be reconciled back to God for it to do any good. The grace is there, but grace alone doesn't fix it unless it's got a pipeline to flow through to get to you. That's called faith. When I got saved, Jesus didn't have to come and die on the cross again. He already had. He'd already paid the price. It was that day I accepted it. Redemption's always been in the mind of God for me, but it came into my mind on the night I gave my life to Jesus Christ. So that's the grace through the faith. You don't just, you know, people want to, even in the churches, we've even got her churches that this is their doctrine, that if God wants something to happen, well, it's going to happen because it's just by His grace. Well, it is by His grace, but His grace has to have a pipeline to flow through. All of our salvation is by grace, but if we don't give God a pipeline to send it to us, we're the one that lays the pipeline. You know, the city brings the water to outside your, you know, your house, but you got to do something to get it in there. You ever get that? I get these things all the time. Did you know the pipe between the meter and your house is your responsibility, and it's going to break any day? How many get those letters? I get them frequently, like four or five times a year maybe. And I'm like, my pipe from the house to the meter is only 11 years old. I'm not sweating it yet. All right? I've lived in homes where it was 40 years old and it was fine. But, you know, they put that fear factor on you. You need to take out this insurance because this could cost you thousands of dollars if this breaks. They're just letting you know, hey, we brought it to your property. You bring it in your house. God brought grace to us, but it's our faith that brings it into our life. Amen. Amen. And so by grace, we are saved. We are delivered. But it comes through faith. And if we don't exercise faith, then, it can be ours, but we not possess it. How many know you have things that belong to you that you're not in possession of? Maybe, guys, your son-in-law's got your tools. He's got your pressure washer. You know, the one son-in-law, there's always one son-in-law that never returns anything. Don't say amen. But anyway, because there's a lot of son-in-laws in this church. But have you know that you always have one that he never brings it back, you know. So, you know, you may have this tool. You may have this pressure washer, you know, whatever it might be. You may have it, but you're not in possession of it, so it doesn't do you any good. Remember the story in Luke chapter 13 where Jesus was in the synagogue teaching and there was a woman in there that was bowed over, and she had been that way for 18 years and could in no wise lift herself up. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." Now, here's a revelation there, too. Yes, she got loose that day, but did you know she'd been loose for those 18 years? And to prove that, when Jesus laid his hands on her and she got delivered from that spirit of infirmity and she straightened up, you know, the religious leader of the synagogue got upset because she was healed on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, hey, man, you lead your donkey to watering on the Sabbath. Ought not this woman being a... What's the daughter of Abraham got to do with it? Covenant. In other words, it belonged to her because she's the daughter of Abraham. So for 18 years, this belonged to her. She did not know it. Obviously, this synagogue wasn't teaching it because she'd had it for 18 years. Maybe she's been coming to that synagogue for 18 years and doesn't know that healing is the children's bread. She doesn't know this. She doesn't know Exodus where God said, I am the Lord that healeth you. She doesn't know that because they haven't taught it. And Jesus said, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham who's been bound, think of it, he said, for 18 years. He's like, look, she's had this for 18 years. Think about that. 18 years this woman's had this. And all the time, healing was hers, but she did not know it. So you can have things and not possess it. You can have grace, but not possess it. You didn't just get saved by accident. How many know that? You know, you had to exercise some faith. However, you might have done that. You know, everybody did it differently. You know, some people, you know, they cried and slung snot. Some people didn't. But it isn't a matter of that. I've seen people have meltdowns and I've seen people that honestly, just looking at them in the natural, you thought, you need to get down and take another dip of this because it didn't look like they got anything. And they're still serving God 40 years later. So you can't go by that. It's by faith. It's like a missionary. This missionary lady was out and she was missionary on the reservations and she had a church out there. And it's a true story. There was one big Native American guy. I think he drank a lot. If I remember the story right, he drank a lot. But he'd get violent, and sometimes he would come in. Isn't that right? He'd come in and he would sometimes disrupt the service and tear things up and everything. And so, you know, he just wasn't a nice person. And so she's preaching one night. She said, and he came in, and she thought, oh, no, here we go again. He sat down, you know, and he's listening to her preach, and she's preaching on this message, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. She said, so I'm preaching on that. I give an altar call, and here he comes down the aisle. She says, I think he's coming down there to break up the altar or whatever, but he kneels at the altar. And he goes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. She thought, he's getting saved. And so said, we went down to pray with him, you know, because he stood right back up after he said that. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He stood back up. And she thought, well, that's not enough. Well, he got to pray. So they tried to get him to go down and pray some more. He said, what for? She preached, just call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. He said, I did it 3 times. Didn't you hear me? And he truly got saved. Because it isn't a matter of how you prayed. It's what you believed. You can pray a lot of prayers and get saved. You know, you pray a different way. Well, I go pray the sinner's prayer with me. Well, that's fine. But you can just call on the name of the Lord. Remember the thief on the cross just said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He got saved off of that. Amen. And so it was a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. Faith causes the grace to flow. You'll find places in the Bible where people came for healing and Jesus said, your faith saved you. Not only did you get healing, but you got salvation saved. And so that happens. Amen. That people get healed. They get saved. You know, but it's a faith thing. Amen. It's a faith thing. Children of Israel, what about them? They didn't get into the promised land. They didn't get into their place of grace because why? Of their unbelief, their lack of faith. See? So we have to come back to this. See some people, and I've seen this over the years, they emphasize grace to the exclusion of faith. It's all about what God wants. It's all about, you know, if God... How many have heard that? If God wants you to receive that, then you will receive that. God wants you healed, then you'll be healed. It's all up to Him. You know, whatever He decides. How many of that is just not the truth? So that's not the truth. It's an error. Now, you know, you can go too far on the other... I've seen people, you know... They emphasize grace to the exclusion of faith. But I've seen people in our faith camp emphasize faith to the exclusion of grace. In other words, they thought it all depended on them. How many of God has done His part. We do our part. God, I don't know how to say this. I don't want to say it that way because that might not be a good way to say it. But you remember the guy that came to Jesus and his son had that demon that threw him into the fire and into the water. How many remember that story? And he came to Jesus and he said to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion and help me. Well, and Jesus threw it back on him. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. He said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. What was he saying? I'm struggling here. Now, why was he struggling? Because he just saw failure. The disciples tried to get him delivered and couldn't do it, so he'd seen failure. So, you know, Jesus didn't expect this, like, faith giant. You know, sometimes we've got to be this faith giant. When Jesus said, hey, a mustard seed would move a mountain. You know what I'm saying? So it's like sometimes, well, they're faith giant. Of course, if pastor prays, you know, that'll happen. How many know everybody has the same relationship with God? I had a lady one time, she was witnessing to this person and she calls me up. She says, they're about to get saved. She said, will you come and pray for them? I said, no, I will not. What? I said, and here's why. They may not like me. That I know you're shocked. I could feel unbelief coming off of you right then. How many know, everybody, you know, I met a woman one time. She told me. I prophesied to her. It was in a service. As far as I know, I never met the woman. I don't even remember meeting her. And I'm at this church, and I prophesied to her about her family. And she, after the service, she said, you know, it was right on. It blessed her. She said, I just can't believe God used you to prophesy to me like that. I said, why? She said, because I don't like you. Well, I'm not sure I like you now, lady. But anyway, you know, I don't know why. You know, maybe she heard, because I had a radio program. Maybe she heard me on the radio. I said some things she didn't like. I don't know. Or maybe she just didn't like me, my personality. But, you know, I told the woman, I said, because you've got them to the place they're about to get saved. God's using you. I don't need to step in here. I might mess it up. Not intending to, but I mean, they might not like me. They might not like my personality, the way I present it. Obviously, they're liking something you're doing if they're about to get saved. So you go, you hook the fish. I mean, you know, if you hook the fish, you want to reel it in, don't you? Right. Have you ever gone fishing? I used to fish a lot when I was young. We go all the time. And you know, you catch that fish. Man, it's fun to reel those things in. I didn't hook a fish in. Now, here, you reel it in. Are you kidding me? I want to reel it in. That's the fun part. So you know, all of these things that are provided for us, you know, it's grace through faith. So we don't emphasize the grace part over the faith part. We don't emphasize the faith part over the grace part. We realize that they both work together. Now, so I want to just say this to you, because I mean, sometimes I think us faith people, we get so bound up in legalism on the faith message that we think everything has to be perfect. You know, the guy there, the Jesus, he wasn't perfect, but he was definitely trying to believe God. And, you know, the Lord told Brother Hagin one time, he said, you guys make such wordology about faith, they can't get it. That's what Jesus told, and when he one appearance that Brother Hagin had to Jesus, which I believe Brother Hagin's stories, he said that one time Jesus said to him, you guys make such a wordology about faith when you teach on it. He said, people can't get it. He said, just tell them to expect something. I thought that was good, because sometimes we some of you are a little older, you'll remember that we had our teachings like 25 steps to the highest kind of faith. 10 steps if you forget your steps. One time, there was a guy, most of you won't know the name, but Bill Bozanski was preaching one night. And he was, I'm not making fun of him, he was a great man of God, but he was preaching one night, and he was preaching, Pastor Chuck, on 25 steps to the God kind of faith. And you know, here's the thing about that. Why would God have you do that? Because one of those steps may help somebody. It may be exactly what they need to hear. So he's preaching along, and he looks at his watch, and he goes, oh, my gosh, I got to be at the airport. He said, I can't finish this. So he called somebody else up, finish this sermon for me. That's when you know you got too many steps, right? But you know, and I'm not making fun of Bill. He's in heaven now, and he was a great man of God. But anyway, my point is we taught so much on things, and like you just had to get everything perfect. And of course we want to be right. We want to do things right. But sometimes I think we pushed it so far that we thought it all rested on us. But thank God for God's grace. Amen. How many know there's none of us have it perfected? People, I've heard people say, I won't believe it until I see it like it was with Jesus' ministry. You're going to be waiting a long time, because I haven't found anybody on the earth all the time I've been here was as proficient as Jesus was in ministry. As a matter of fact, the Bible said he had the Spirit without measure. I've heard some goofballs say they do. I don't believe them. Jesus did, though. He was an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher in all of it. He had it all. And he had the Spirit without measure. He had the healing anointing on him. Someone asked, I was talking to a minister the other day, and we were talking about this, and someone had asked him, said, why don't I see miracles like so-and-so and like this and that? I'm not going to tell you what he said, because I don't, I'm just not going to tell you. But anyway, he gave him a really, really rough answer. But anyway, he's a friend of mine. And well, he told me, he said, you're too stinking carnal, that's why. But anyway, I did tell you what he said. That's what he told him. Well, he did, didn't he? I wasn't going to say that either. She's a preacher, and she asked him, why don't I see miracles like, Catherine Kuhlman? He said, because you're too stinking carnal. He said, you watch TV. I told him, I said, well, that's a little simplistic, to be honest with you. He's a great guy. But anyway, how many know the Bible says that some have gifts of healings, but not everybody? Because we don't have the whole body of Christ with all the gifting. Amen. We're the fullness of Christ, the Bible says. But no one individual is. He put all those gifts. Man, I've even heard people say, I'm an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. You're just a goofball. That's all you are. You know what I'm saying? One guy came to Brother Hagin. He said, I want you to pray for me. He said, why? He said, well, God's told me that I'm going to have a ministry greater than all the apostles. Brother Hagin said, I don't even think you're called. And if you are, you certainly got to get that fixed, because and thank God for God's grace, right? Are y'all with me?
Amen.
See, so, but yet, this idea that God is just going to do it and we don't have any part, that's wrong. That's just wrong. We have the faith part to believe what he said was provided by grace and to believe it to be true in our life. Amen? So we can't emphasize grace to the exclusion of faith. And don't get yourself all bound up with you emphasize faith so strong that you include grace like you just have to be this perfect person that's got all the your T's crossed, your I's dotted. None of us are there. And so the Lord will meet you where you're at. Amen. And it's like I told you a story one time of I was full gospel. I used to preach for the full gospel businessman. And I think they're still going, but they were really big in this day. And one of the presidents told me this story one time. He said, when I was a young Christian, he said, I went into this room and this person was demon-possessed, and they were trying to get this person delivered and they weren't having any success. And he said, I'm just a young in the Lord. I said, I didn't know what to do. He said, so I took my Bible and threw it at them and hit them in the stomach. And he said, they got delivered. Immediately they got delivered. I said, well, he threw the whole word of God at him at once. Praise the Lord. Now, how many know? That's not what the Bible tells us to do. Jesus said, in my name, throw your Bible at him and the devil will come out. But how many know? What did the Lord see with this young believer? I'll tell you what he saw. Faith. The guy had some faith. He had faith. I'm going to do something about this. I don't know what to do, but I'll throw the Bible at him. That's not God's recipe, but God, thank God for grace.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for grace. I got one of my teeth healed one time when I was a young Christian. standing on the scripture, that when I later found out what it really meant, it was a curse. It talked about they'll have, is in Amos, and it's a scripture, says they'll have cleanness of teeth in all their cities. And I was standing for healing for one of my teeth, and it got healed. And then when I grew up and read that scripture again, the reason why they had cleanness of teeth, because there was famine going on and they didn't have any food, so there couldn't be any taco meat hanging off for chicken. I'm thinking, wow, I didn't use that scripture right, but God said, but God saw faith, right? He saw one of his children still in their Pampers. And he said, isn't that cute? Look at that. How many know what kids do that is cute? We expect more when they get older. The way they collar when they're young, I've got pictures put away that the grandkids gave me when they're young. Now that they're older, I expect they can do better. I've got one, I've had it for years. I've probably had it 20 plus, the Groundhog Day thing. Our first granddaughter comes home from, it was like Groundhog's Day, wasn't it preschool or something?
Yeah, I picked her up.
Yeah, and she had this silhouette of her face etched out or whatever, penciled out, and she said, I'm going to give this to Grandpa. And Phyllis goes, no, you probably ought to give that to your mom. She says, no, I'm giving it to Grandpa. The teacher said it's Grandpa's Day. I got it. I still got it. It was a Groundhog's Day. But anyway, that was cute. But how many know when they get in their 20s, you expect a little bit more intelligence out of them? God's the same way. He's the same way. He gives us grace. Amen. And so we're all still growing, right? Amen. Look at Romans chapter 5. Go there. Romans the 5th chapter. So we're just talking about the grace and the faith connection, and how they're connected, and how you've got to have both. You can't just like rely on one and think, you know, man, I've seen people that, and I'm going to do it all by my faith. I'm this great big faith giant and so forth. And, you know, no, you're not. And then you get the other side. It's like, you know, it's all grace and whatever God wants, and that's what's going to happen. And no, that doesn't work either. Nobody gets saved that way. Nobody gets saved that way. Nobody gets saved. Nobody's going to get saved by saying, whenever God wants to save me, he'll save me.
Right.
Are they? No. Would anybody get healed saying that?
No.
No. Would they get anything from God saying that?
No.
No. Now look at this scripture right here in Romans. This also says the same thing, just a little different way. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we have, he says, Paul said, we have access by faith into this grace. So how do we access it?
By faith.
Right? How do you get, you know, if you're a worker here and you work in this building, all right, so you have to come in maybe sometime during the week. How do you get into the door? You kick it in, you drive your truck through it. What do you do? You got to have an access fob, right? You access it. See, I think it was what, maybe Monday, I went outside. I was here at the office and went outside and got outside and thought, wait a minute, where's my keys? Where's my fob? Thank the Lord I had my phone. And I haven't got that thing hooked up. I got to talk to you about that, Jason. But anyway, pastor doesn't have it. But there's certain guys, security guys, they got it on their phone. And so I have to call James. And he said, well, I got to pull over. I'm on 41. I said, yeah, you got to let me in. I got to have some access here. Right? So, you know, he opened the door for me and I got back in, you know. And all. So, whew, thank you, Lord. It was hot, too, that day. Praise the Lord. But anyway, you know, you can't just access this building just because you want to. You can't just access grace just because you want to. You have to have faith. There's a way to do it. There's a way. Amen? And so Paul told us it's by faith that we access grace. Well, think about it. See, there's different scriptures that we could think about. But what about the woman with the issue of blood? Remember her? What did Jesus say? Well, the Bible says that he sensed that power went out of him, right? And he said, "Who touched me? For I perceive that power," King James used the word virtue, "went out of me." And he looked around to see who did it, and the woman came and told him what she did. And he said, daughter, covenant girl, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has accessed the grace that was in me. Right? See, it was power, but how many of that power is there? Because of the grace of God. You know, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, the Bible said, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It was God's grace. And so she accessed that by her faith. Amen. Amen. So we need to understand that. If she can do it, how many know we can do it? Now, I want to just say this because you need to know this, because I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that that God has provided for me that took some time for it to get to me. Because there are scriptures that talk about through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Now, if you're like me, and I'm sure most people are, being Americans, we like things instantly. Right? I mean, you know, I get up in the morning, I can have my cup of coffee made in like 2 minutes. You just push the button, put the pot in, wait for it to warm up, and we got coffee. How many know it used to not be that way? You used to have to... Remember Maxwell House, good to the last drop? How many of you remember that commercial, the percolate? How many of you, we had to put it on top of the stove and let it percolate? It had to cook, you know. And so, you know, have me know what the word cook means. Just checking. I just want to know. Cook means you cook it. Not microwave. Cook. So we don't, if you're like me, you like things fast. But there's healings that have taken place in my life that they took some time. I'm standing for some things today. I mean, that I've been standing, Lord, for a while. It doesn't mean that God's withholding. It means sometimes we do have tests of our faith. Did you know that? So, well, no, we're New Testament faith people. We never have things like that. Yeah, right. Amen. You know, there's a Rhema guy. He travels around. I don't really know him. I've met him, talked with him, had dinner with him or lunch with him one time. But you know, we're not like friends or anything. But he was a Dean of Rhema at one time, instructor there. Now he just travels. But he talked about when he was a young believer back in the 70s, going to Rhema, and Brother Hagin made the comment something like, don't think you're just going to float through this life, you know, on flowery beds of ease without any trials or troubles or tribulations. He said, when Brother Hagin made that, he said, that disappointed me. He said, I thought I came to a faith school. He said, I thought this was a faith pulpit. He said, I rejected it. He said, then after Brother Hagin came another teacher, and some of you will recognize this name, Roy Hicks Sr. Brother Roy was the superintendent of the Foursquare Church for years, great faith teacher. And Brother Hicks came and preached and taught at Rhema, and he taught, ready or not, trouble's coming. He even has a book by it. He said, there was no way I was going to buy that book. He said, I rejected that and thought, man, I can't believe Brother Hagin's having these people in, saying this stuff, you know. He said, but as I matured, I realized that mature faith fights the fight. This isn't exactly what he said. I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look at the email. But mature faith fights the fight of faith and fights through life and still believes God. But he said, I had this belief that if you had faith, you wouldn't have any problems. How many wish that were true? Man, I like that. That'll sell. You can sell tapes with that kind of message, but it just happens to not be the truth. And so, we you know, when I was young like that, I thought, you know, no, we don't have any problems, man. We got faith in God, you know. I heard Brother Schaumbach say, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. But there was a little bit deeper meaning than that, than what he was. He meant something deeper. Yeah, no, we don't have any trouble that's going to stay because we got faith in God. We're just passing through. Amen? Yeah. Right? You know, the Bible talks about some passing through the valley of Baca, the valley of trouble, not camping out, not pitching a tent, not building a summer home, passing through. But we do pass. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Isn't it good to know that when we do face things, it's not because of a lack of faith? It's just we have a test of our faith sometimes. Yeah. Who's testing our faith? God? No, God's not testing our faith. It's the devil that tests our faith. Remember Peter? Peter said, you know, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you're all going to desert me. And Peter said, oh, no. He said, everybody else may, but I won't. Real humble guy, right? And he got a lesson in humility over that. And Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. In other words, that you won't lose your faith. Well, you know, Peter had a test, didn't he? Now, who'd come to sift him? God? No, it says Satan came to sift him as wheat. He's asked for you. Who sifted Job? It was Satan, wasn't God. People say it was God, but said that Satan went forth and smote Job, not God. So we do have those things. We do have those tests. We do have those trials. Sometimes when we're having those things don't necessarily go away overnight, but I can tell you what, if you fight, the Bible tells us in James chapter 5 to look at Job and look at the end of the Lord, that the Lord is full of tender mercy. Amen. I like the New King James. Look at the end intended by the Lord. Talking about Job, what the Lord intended for Job. What did the Lord give Job? Anybody remember? Twice as much. That was God's intention when that trial hit him, is I'm going to give this boy twice as much as he already has when he comes through this. The devil's intention was to separate Job from his faith in God. God's intention was to double bless him. So if you're going through a trial, you might want to do some shouting. Because God's got double blessing for you. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, I thought that was good. Praise the Lord. I like that. Amen. Now, look at this. Let's go. We'll have to close out. But did you get anything tonight? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. We'll close right here. Deuteronomy 32. Got a lot more, but we're going to stop. Deuteronomy 32. I like, I'll just quote you the scripture where you find Deuteronomy 32, but it's Romans 4:16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be grace, by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. So faith makes sure, makes grace sure. Let me say it that way. Faith makes grace sure. A lady asked me one time, she was counseling this woman. It was a good question from her. She called me. And it was a friend of ours in ministry. And she called me and she said, I've got this lady, and she asked me this question. I don't know how to answer her. She said, she asked me, why does God make it so hard that you have to believe to receive? She said, I didn't know what to tell her. I said, that's not making it hard. That's making it easy. Because all God says is believe it, and you'll have the grace. Therefore, it is of great faith that it might be by grace. In other words, God's just simply saying, if you believe it, you can have grace. How do you know that's easy? Because everybody can do that. What if God would have said, everybody with an IQ of 140 and over gets it. How many are going to get it? I'm not sure what mine is. I know it's above 70 or 80. I feel pretty good about that part, but I don't know. I haven't had it checked, but so far I'm still living life. I mean, what if God said everybody that's their perfect weight gets it? Why are y'all so sad? I mean, look, Pastor Checkson, oh man, I don't know, I may have put on a couple ounces since Thanksgiving. How many know God made it where everybody can get it? Come on, how many ever looked at the, come on, you ever looked at the height, the weight charts? It's like, ain't no way. Look, I'm just too short for my weight. That's all there is to it. I've got to grow taller. How many of God did it in a way everybody could get it, right? So I said to her, I said, that's not making it hard. That's actually making it easy. God could have demanded something else out of us. Everybody that keeps all the Ten Commandments perfectly gets it. How many have already broken it? How many ever broke a Ten Commandment? One person. Wow, got a great church here. I didn't know that. See, God made it easy. So here at Deuteronomy, let's close with this. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Look with me, verse 20. God's talking about Israel. He said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward or perverse generation. Notice this, children in whom is no faith. So I see from this, listen, if without faith on our part, all that God can do is watch and see what's going to happen. See, what's going to happen? Now, we understand this in one area, but people don't accept it in other areas, and I don't know why. But we understand it in this area that if a person has no faith in Jesus, all God can do is watch and see what happens. He can't do anything.
Right.
God's not saving people apart from their faith. That's the Bible, folks. So I don't know why we think God's doing things apart from faith. He's not doing apart from faith. That's how we access His grace. Well, there's all kinds of scripture. James chapter 5 said, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. He gives liberally to everybody. Isn't that grace? Isn't that God? When it comes to giving, God's a liberal. When it comes to morals, He's not. But He's a liberal giver, right? But it says now, let him ask in faith, no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind. For let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. How many things will he receive from the Lord, the guy that doubts?
Nothing.
Why? Because that's the pipeline for grace. It's not God's being hard. That's the pipeline.
Yeah.
Got to have the pipe from the water meter to your house, right? You can't just say, well, I don't believe in pipes. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe in pipes. You know, they break. I don't want to. How many of you, you're not going to have any water, right? You're not going to have it. You're not going to have any grace without the pipeline of faith. So this is something we have to understand. All right, I'll close with this. Remember this. Remember the story. I use this story a lot over the years because I like it. Luke chapter, I think it's chapter 5, where it talks about the guy who had, you know, who was born before. He had the palsy, or he was paralyzed, or he had that going on in his life. They bring him to a meeting where Jesus is teaching. They can't get in because all the people there. And the Bible says this, when Jesus was teaching, it says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I use bad English, but it makes my point. If the power of the Lord was present to heal them needed to be healed. But them weren't healed. It's talking about the doctors of the law, the Pharisees, the scribes, said the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So we got sick Pharisees, we got sick scribes, we got sick, they called them lawyers, or they were scribes. in the congregation, right? They need healing. Power's there to heal them. Only one gets healed, and it's the guy that they let down through the roof. And the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. So what does that tell you? It tells us that power can be present, grace can be there, and nobody get anything. Nobody get anything. What does that mean? That means it's just like we said, it's grace through faith. It's not just grace, it's grace and faith. There's a connection. If you don't have them both, and thank God, God provides the grace, so there's no problem with that. But now it's just our part to believe. I walked into the church, a sinner, undone, lost. Matter of fact, the weekend I got saved was not a good weekend for me till I got saved. I was so messed up, I had to crawl up my stairs to get in the house. I couldn't walk right. I got out of the vehicle, a guy took me home. I got out of the vehicle and walked right back into his vehicle, and I had to crawl up the stairs. He's like, let me help you get in. I said, oh, no, 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 you're not going to do that. I crawl up the stairs. I had to crawl up them, get in the house. This is how messed up I am. I come to church on, that was on a Friday night. I come to church on Sunday night, and I don't, I don't know what's about to happen to me, but because I come, because of my faith, I got totally changed. So I crawl up the stairs on Friday night, but on Sunday night, because of God's grace, I walk up, I'm a new creature with authority over the devil. I don't know I've got this, but I do. It's, you know, and I'm not making any of this up. I tell this story the same way every time because that's exactly what happened. I went back in my bedroom. I sat on my bed. I thought, I've never had peace in my life like this. I looked up at my bedroom window and I saw an imp-like looking creature go out the window. No, he didn't open it. He just went right out that window. And I thought, wow, that was strange. I didn't know what it was. I had no clue. I just thought, wow, what was that? And then, you know, as time progressed, I read one of Brother Hagin's book and saw that he said sometimes demons look like imp-looking creatures. He saw him in, you know, with discerning of spirits, and I thought, that's exactly what I saw. So all I know is when I walked in there with the life of God, that devil realized our relationship was done. We weren't hanging out together any longer, and so he just left. Hallelujah. That's God's grace. But all that changed. My whole life changed because of faith. Let's all stand up. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for grace. Amen. Through faith. There's that connection. Hallelujah. And it'll change anybody. Amen. I said it'll change anybody. It'll change any circumstance that we face because there's grace. Grace is sufficient. God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Not insufficient, it's sufficient. Paul told Timothy, he knew about it. You know, Paul learned about how what this grace will do. He said, be strong in grace. Amen. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Well, how do we do that? Through faith.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.